My name is John.
And I am a sinner. There is darkness around me and there's darkness within me. But I get to be part of this fellowship where the worse your story, the warmer your welcome. And there is light and it's coming. And I want to talk to you about that light today. We're looking at step 5 in the 12 steps for everybody. We admitted to God, to ourselves, and one other person the exact nature of our wrongs. Ouch. But there are these great promises in the Bible, James 5:16. Confess your sins one to another and pray for each other that you might be healed. Or John writes in 1 John, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth isn't in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we haven't sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. And of course, it's not just, you know, that I claim that I've never, ever sinned in my life. Pretty much nobody's going to do that. But I can live in a way where I'm kind of implicitly saying, no, I got it figured out. I got it wired. I'm okay. And we all have a deep need to step into the light with God and with ourselves and with another person. Now, this is true universally for human beings. It's part of the power of therapy. Therapy kind of overlaps with and is deeply connected with this, our need for confession and transparency and stepping into the light. Lori Gottlieb is a therapist who has a wonderful and hilarious book, Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. Actually, that's what we're talking about right now. That's step 5. Maybe You Should Talk to Someone. And she talks about her very first client who is a high-functioning person but came into the office, was a complete mess. She writes parenthetically, if you ever want proof that what people present online is a prettier version of their lives, become a therapist and Google your patients. Later, when I Googled this patient out of concern, I learned quickly never to do that. Always let patients be the sole narrators of their stories. Pages of hits popped up. I saw images of her receiving a prestigious award, smiling at an event, standing next to a handsome guy, looking cool and confident and at peace with the world in a magazine photo spread. Online, she bore no resemblance to the person who sat across from me in that room. How different Facebook would be if we were all honest, if there was a reality-based Facebook. And now that's what we come into step 5 to do. There's a wonderful description of the dynamic, and this will give you a little picture as you think about step 5 in Dallas Willard's book, Renovation of the Heart. He writes about standing before God. When God stands before us, we stand before him. Refusing to worship him is a way of trying to avoid his face and his eyes. And then one of my favorite stories about coming into the light with our sin. 2.5-year-old Larissa was enjoying water in the backyard with Nana. Nana counseled her gently to water the purple flowers, but she had just discovered mud by pouring water on a small patch of dirt. Nana told her not to put water on the dirt because it makes mud and mud will get everything dirty. Well, you might imagine what happens from here. Little girl started calling the mud warm chocolate. Nana, who had been facing away from the action, discovered what was going on, cleaned up the mess, returned to her reading, but now seated to be facing Larissa. But the little girl soon resumed her warm chocolate routine, saying sweetly, "Don't look at me, Nana, okay?" Nana, of course, agreed and looked down at her reading. Then Larissa would make black mud, put some of it in the tub, and then more 3 times. As she continued with her work, she said, "Don't look at me, Nana, okay?" The tender soul of a little child shows us how necessary it is to us that we should be unobserved in our wrong. The adult soul carries the same burden, but now so great as to be crushed by it. Dallas goes on to say, the so-called right to privacy, of which so much is made in contemporary life, is in very large measure merely a way of avoiding scrutiny in our wrongdoing. And now in step 5, we just go the exact opposite direction. We actually invite God, and with God's help and God's power, I myself, and then another deeply trusted person to look at me. Look at me. Let the light in. I bring what I've been trying to hide. From Genesis 3 on, that's always what sin does. I want to go to the darkness. I want to hide it. I don't want anybody to see. I'm afraid of what might happen. But of course, that fear keeps me from the very healing that I need. It's very interesting. Martin Luther, as you may know, kind of the father of the Protestant Reformation, had a very intense relationship with this practice of confession to another person. Before the Reformation, he's a monk, and he would confess on a very regular basis, often daily. His confessor was a guy named Staupitz, but Luther was just neurotic with it. This is where we all need help with step five. And he would spend hours. One time he spent more than 6 hours in confession. He was like the Cal Ripken of confession. And he would confess the tiniest things, being patient waiting for his monkish food, or having a bad attitude about prayer, or having a negative attitude where he never said anything, but just had a negative feeling about another monk. Or if he couldn't come up with any of those sins, then he would confess pride at not coming up with any sins. And Staupitz periodically would just blow up at him. You know, if you want Christ to forgive you for something, come up with something to forgive. Patricide, blasphemy, adultery, like stop wasting my time. Smalls, you're killing me. Luther's problem was that he had an angry God. And it's not that God needed Luther's confession to forgive Luther. Luther needed the grace of confession to receive healing. And so he has this deep insight that we are saved by grace through faith, that God is a gracious God, that God wants to forgive. And so we don't need a middleman. We don't need a mechanical intermediary. But the idea of that to Luther was not, well, therefore, none of us has to confess our sins to anybody anymore. It was quite the opposite. You might have heard of the priesthood of all believers. In Luther's day, there were just a few number of people who were priests who were qualified to hear confession. What Luther talked about was the priesthood of all believers. Everybody is able to act as a priest for each other. But where we've ended up often in the Protestant church is the priesthood of no believers. Nobody's a priest. Nobody's practicing confession. And Luther, even after the Reformation, actually engaged in confession to a trusted brother on a daily basis. There was actually what was called the Nuremberg absolution controversy about the status of confession as a sacrament. And Luther believed that it was something that was deeply helpful, nothing magic about it. God didn't need it to forgive. It wasn't a sacrament in that way, but that it was a means for receiving grace. So I know this is a tough one. I hope you're thinking about doing it. Don't rush into it. I'll give you a few thoughts about how to do it that they're not original with me, but have been helpful for me. I've done this a couple of times with my buddy, Rick. One is choose the right person. Maybe a therapist, maybe a pastor or a clergyman. If it's somebody who's a friend, you want to make sure it's a person where you can trust their confidentiality, where they're a person of good judgment. They don't gossip. They don't rush into fix. They don't rush in to give you a lot of advice. They have appropriate levels of vulnerability and wisdom. It takes a lot of time to get to know somebody well enough to do this. I've seen people's lives get ruined when they became vulnerable with the wrong person. So find the right person, pray and talk with God about that. Probably not your spouse. Probably there'll be stuff that you just need to talk about where you don't want to have secrets from your spouse, but you want to be able to have unfiltered conversations with another person in a way where, because that relationship is so interconnected, it might not work there. So you may well need to take little steps to identify who is that person going to be and ask God to help lead you in that process. And then you want to find the right place. The first time I did this, when I was with Rick, we were actually at a table. It was outside, but it was at a record club fitness center where we were. While I'm going through it, there were just too many other people around, and I did not really want to be entertaining them. So I've done it a couple of times with him since, and we've just done it in a private place. Set aside enough time. This will often take several hours if you're doing it really thoroughly. Begin with a word of prayer together. It's very important to recognize now this is not just me and another human being. This is not just a human act. This is God in this. And then it's most helpful to have the concrete specific sins, wrongdoing on my part, my inventory before me in written form. And I'll just simply read through it. And occasionally, if there's something that Rick doesn't understand, he might stop to ask me what it means. But otherwise, for the most part, I just simply go through it. And there will most likely be lots of emotion, embarrassment in places, and it might be good to pause and just acknowledge that. And then when you're done, again, it's a good thing to stop and pray. And then just to hear the words, I'll talk a little bit more about my own experience with this in the next video, but to hear the words, now you have a clean slate, you are forgiven. And then after you've done this, the recommendation is that you go home or to some quiet place and have a little time alone, half an hour, an hour, and reflect, what have I just learned? And often, as difficult as it is when you're going through it, when you're done, there'll be this sense of cleanness because there's something powerful. I'm telling you, it's just true. There is something powerful about coming into the light. And if we come into the light, walk in the light, we'll meet God there. Your mess is your message. Keep coming back. It works if you're working.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series Steps, which is based on John's new book, recently released, also called Steps. So you can pick that book up anywhere that you like to purchase your books or find out more information about it at becomenew.com. If you're someone that would like to start practicing, working, doing the steps with a friend or a small group or your church, we've created a web portal for you that should get you all the resources you need to get started. You can just go to dothesteps.com. We are a community that's dedicated to growing spiritually in Christ one day at a time. And a big part of that is prayer. So there's a team of us that meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for Become New and for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a prayer request, you can send it to us at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.